Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this is the ebook series where we give Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation an opportunity to be known by all. And we methodically go through it. And we will do so in a moment. We're going to begin, as we always do, though, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be here, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. And I think we're recognizing that each and every day. We do have with us today Maureen. So I'm going to open up Maureen's mic and bring her in right now because I don't want to forget. Hi, Maureen. I don't know if your mic is on.
Hi. I'm
there here. We go. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to mute you. I didn't. I'm saying stop muting Maureen.
It's funny when you're talking to yourself, you think people are listening. You're just going on and on. No one can hear you.
Yeah, I do all the time. Hello. Nobody listens, but that's okay. You know, Maureen, I wanted to. I'm going to do something different tonight. I want to start from the end of our program because otherwise I'm going to forget to include it. And I don't want to forget because there's a lot of good stuff here. At the end, we usually indicate what or who is going to be with us this weekend. And I can do so in a moment. Live on Sunday, we will have Returning to Mary's Hill once again. Mother Gabriel, Mary, and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So they'll be joining us at 2 p.m. The Holy Rosary and Adoration will begin at 1 p.m. So Mother and the Sisters will be with us at 2 o'clock. They'll also give us an update as to the timing of the move to Tennessee, which we're eagerly awaiting. So that's on Sunday. Also, something that can't give you everything, but I want to give you a little bit of a whet your appetite a bit. We're very close to completely confirming a upcoming Divine Will retreat that will be held in Pennsylvania this summer. The actual dates are, or should be, June 30th, July 1st, and July 2nd. Again, more information about where it is. It's in the Villanova University area of Pennsylvania, that I can tell you. And as far as the lineup's concerned, can't divulge that right now, but I can tell you that two of the three of the main guests are regulars, so to speak, here at Mary's Hill. And they will be here live in Pennsylvania for this this beautiful Divine Will retreat. So again, June 30th, July 1st, and July 2nd. And we hope to have information on this event within about a week, I would think. Save us up. So again, I'm glad I did this first because I know I would have forgotten this morning. And again, mm-hmm. Sunday with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters. Absolutely incredible. This is, just as everything. It's so amazing on how God neutralizes all the negative, all the bad. Yeah, as things get worse in the world and the church and maybe even our lives for the most part, peripherally, not interiorly, because of course we have the divine will, nothing should disturb us. But But we have it all, and we really do. And you know, the two things that we've been talking about the last week or two or so is just, you know, we get a lot of correspondence about, you know, Pete, it's just, you know, there's so much to learn. There's so much to do. You know, where do I start? Where do I end? What do I do this day? And, you know, it's really interesting because I really think, and maybe Maureen can give us her opinion also, you know, God is looking for us to do whatever he intends us to do. We're going to respond to God, perhaps in a slightly different way than everyone else is going to, because our disposition, our history, our lives have been different to a certain extent. So God's going to give us, he's going to place this gift into us. So if we have a square hole, he's going to make the divine will square. If we have a round hole, he's going to make the divine will round. If we have a triangular hole, he's going to make it. He's going to fit it into us based on what we've experienced, what we're allowing him to do and what we're not allowing him to do. So he's going to do the best he can. And the two things that I cannot get out of my mind, I'll be very quick on. The first one is the availability. And Jesus speaks about this in volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Jesus told Louisa, quote, "My daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, in other words, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. This must be available in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place." End quote. So it excludes no one. It's everywhere. God's waiting for our fiat, and then he'll make it in our place based on our dispositions, and the gift will be given. The second thing that's really astonishing to me, and maybe everyone else has been through this already and has already come off the high, but I can't get off the high. It's volume 23, November 27th, 1927. Jesus gives us a really great hint as to how do we obtain this gift? What do we do? I mean, we know what we have to do, but what do we do? And he tells Louisa and tells us, quote, "My daughter, that which is most necessary," not one of the most necessary. He says, "My daughter, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. When God moves and decides, he overcomes and conquers everything, even the evils themselves." So the first thing Jesus tells us that we need to do is we need to move God. We can move God in myriad of different ways. I think the first way we can do it is with our desire. Because Jesus tells us desire admits us to this gift. That's where it begins. Desire admits, knowledge advances, virtues anchor us, and life actualizes this gift. So we start with desire. And there's a whole lot of ways we can do that, especially the ardent desire, the diagram on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. If you go to the Divine Will Resource Divine Will Visual Aids is the page number, page name, I should say. And right there, we have carved out, Father Anuzzi actually did the carving of where Jesus explains in the volumes, what are the ingredients in the recipe that will produce an ardent desire. And it's really very simple. I think we could all do this. And if you look at it, it's very easy. I mean, I can just go through a couple of things right now. Do we crave its affections and tendencies? Does our memory continuously recall it? Does our intelligence constantly contemplate it? Are we willing to sacrifice our life in order to let the divine will have supremacy over all? Do we possess the proper knowledge of this gift? Have we emptied ourselves, or are we emptying ourselves of our will so as to make room for God's will? And last but not least, do we have peace? And all of these sort of ingredients lead us back to, if we don't have them, where to obtain them? And they're obtained easily through our Blessed Mother, or our Blessed Lord, through Louisa. Ask, and it shall be given. So we have to keep asking for all these ingredients so that we can make this product just the way God wants it. Yeah, we can fudge ingredients. We can sort of substitute different ingredients. We can alter the measurements. And yeah, we'll get a product that's going to be similar to what the recipe calls for. But if we stick to the recipe verbatim, we're going to get exactly the product that the recipe calls for, in this case, to receive this gift of the divine will. It's available everywhere, always in every circumstances, unless we don't want it. And I know each and every one of us that's listening right now does want it. So that this is astonishing. We just want to move God tonight, because as we move God, he gives us the gift, the understanding, the knowledges, the truths, the help we need to journey. Absolutely fantastic. Anything to add to that, Maureen?
Well, to know him is to love him. And when you love him, you want to do all these things. And so you have to read. That's the only way. It's not like anything else. You don't read this book and put it down and say, okay, I read this book. Now what's my next book? It's not like reading the lives of the saints or consecrate different consecrations or anything like that, where you do it and then you put it down. It's a way of life and it's for the rest of your life. So for people that want to do it quick and get it done and figure it out, and it's just not like that. It's a totally different thing. I mean, how can you learn about heaven and bring it down here quickly? It takes a lifetime. So we have to be ready to give our life in different ways. We give our life in different ways, whatever God calls us to do. But at the very least, we give our life in reading and in having the knowledge, and then we want it, and then we can share it. But you can't get around not reading. You have to read. That's what came to me. So it's knowledge that's the first joining link, as Jesus says, between him and us. And it allows the creature to understand who they are and how to. Let me read the quote. It says, Jesus says, it is knowledge that allows the creature to understand where we are, with whom they live, what they can receive, and what they have to do. So the only way, I mean, maybe there's people that have the infused knowledge, you know, God can do that. But for us regular people, we have to read. There's no getting around it. So,
yeah, no, it's true. It's absolutely true. But I think that the real delineation between just reading and reading is the fact that this is not an Evelyn Wood speed reading contest. It's not like we can, you know, we just want to get through the volumes. I have to read the whole book of heaven just to read it. Jesus tells us also, we're not going to get the flavor of what he's trying to express to us. We need to dissect it. We need to masticate on it. We need to chew on it, just like a piece of food in our mouth. The more we chew it, the more we understand the texture, the taste, the different ingredients we get the benefit of it. We do as much as we can. Now, and God knows what our limits are and what our availability is. If we have a life that's full with responsibilities, you know, full-time employment, household responsibilities, childcare, God knows that we have a certain allotment of time. He doesn't want us to take the time away from our responsibilities. What he wants us to do is he wants us to start carving out the frivolous things in our lives, you know, that disposable time that we have. We can't create a 25th hour in a day, but we can make better use of the 24 hours. So what I'm trying to say is, for example, if we watch TV for 2 hours a day, try cutting it back to an hour. I guarantee you're not going to miss anything. And give that hour to the divine will. Pretty soon then the TV is going to be down to a half hour or 15 mm-hmm. minutes, or maybe gone at all. Or maybe, again, I have nothing against golf and golfers, but maybe going out on a golf course on a Sunday may not be the best way to give honor and glory to God and keep the Sabbath holy. If you do it on a Saturday, is it the greatest use of 8 or 9 hours or whatever it takes to do that? I don't know. To me, it's not. But again, God's looking for us to reallocate the time that we have, and he's going to give us the grace to do it. It's impossible because we're so stuck in what we do most times that it's very difficult to change. We're creatures of habit, but God's going to give us the grace. He says he's going to change our palate. And think about changing our palate. Let's just use it the way we normally use it when we eat. As youngsters, we have a like for certain foods and a dislike for other foods. Well, as we get older, mature, our palate changes too. We sort of kind of like some of the things we disliked and vice versa. God says he's going to allow us to not have that same affection for certain things, that he wants us to start carving away to make time for him. Like Maureen said, this knowledge advances us. And let's just go to the Baltimore Catechism. It states that why are we created? To know, to love, and to serve God. Okay, how do you know God? Well, you get to know God. And when you start to get to know God, you love God. It's an automatic second phase. And once you start to love God, you can't help but to want to serve God. So the know, love, and serve, they all go together. They all sort of trickle down. And now through the explication, the Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism, which states that what's been given is now going to be expanded upon. Now we know to love, and to serve God. The best way to do that is to exercise our free will, to defer it to God's most holy divine will, and to enter into this gift. It's a mystical gift. It's nothing we've earned to receive it. But now we must earn the benefits of it by what we do. It's the unveiling of all of what has been given to us. And that takes work. It takes reading. It takes listening. And yes, like Maureen said, this can happen in an hour. This can happen in a day. This can happen in 35 years. It can happen never at all. Jesus says that for those who read, listen, study, try to put into practice and really are making very little progress, he says it's because the true desire, again, but let's go back to that desire again. The true desire is not there to receive this gift. So if the desire is not there, let's say the desire equals the word fiat. So if we're not giving our fiat in our lives, God cannot reciprocate with the grace and graces to allow us to understand this language of heaven. So again, God waits for us to take the first step, and then he runs the race for us. But he's not going to come out of the starting block without us taking the first step. And we do it just like our Blessed Mother. Perfect example. When Our Lady said, fiat, let it be done as you say. She, at that time, I've discussed this in length with Father Nisi, she did not know everything that was going to happen. God gave her the knowledge sort of on an as-need basis. But the knowledge began to go to her, to be conveyed to her, to be infused in her once she gave her fiat. The same thing with us. Once we say yes, God starts to give us the grace, the gift, to get out of our doldrum, to get out of our way of life, and to get back into the way of life that God created us, to go back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. And Jesus says, you know, to move God to receive the gift, yes, and then we have to ask for this gift. He says that's the second most important. The other, he says, again, the other necessary thing is that the creature who seeks it and praise God to give such a great good must possess it within herself, the life of the kingdom which she asks for the other creatures. So if we're asking in our prayers for the divine will to reign in all souls, past, present, and future, for us to move God to give the grace of disposition to all souls to receive this gift, to be receptive to this gift as we are right now, we need to move God first. We need to ask for the gift. We need to possess the gift. And again, we're talking about possessing the gift. We're not talking about in its totality necessarily. We just need enough of this gift to recognize this is everything. This is our life. This is what God wants me to do. And the rest will be our journey. And like Maureen said, this is going to be our journey for the rest of our lives. But that does not mean we're not going to gain significant knowledge in a very short period of time. Again, he gives commensurate to our desire. So the more we desire this, the more he gives us. So it's really up to us how fast we want to journey along this ultimate journey in life. It really is. It's really up to us. But the initial mystical gift has nothing to do with anything we've done in our lives. It's a mystical gifts, as Father Nisi explains. They are not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given to anyone, when God wishes, to whom God wishes, to what extent God wishes. We've been given a grace. We've already been given mystical gifts. The fact that we recognize this gift as something extraordinary, the fact that we're listening to Jesus speak this evening and our Blessed Mother speak through the help of the theologian Father Iannuzzi, that means that we've been given the first gift to recognize this gift as something special. Now we'll see what the work entails. And sometimes the work is very, very easy. Sometimes it can be difficult. But again, it all goes back to desire admits us to the gift, knowledge advances us to the gift, virtues anchor us in this gift, and life actualizes this gift. And while we're on the subject, what's the criteria to receive this gift? Jesus states this in the volumes too. He says, number one, first and foremost, we must be in the state of grace. How can God fuse with something contaminated? He can't. So we must be in the state of grace. The second, we must form an ardent desire. Again, we can find that exactly what the ingredients are in the ardent desire. They're easy to get. They're not easy to keep, but they're easy to obtain. The third is have an upright intention to want this gift, not just for ourselves, not just for our immediate family, but for all souls, past, present, and future. We want this gift for our enemies, for everyone. That's the upright intention. And fourth, but not least, again, he wants us to ask for this gift, literally ask for it. He wants to hear us ask, whether it be verbally, audible, or subliminally, he wants us to ask for this gift. And I guess that's part parcel with the desire also, because I think in that desire, we're sort of going to be asking for this gift on a continuous basis. And God's going to respond. He promises. Absolutely,
Peter,
promises.
Can I read something from volume 36?
Yes.
It was really encouraging to me and to anybody that is having maybe feeling like they can't do it or it's going to be too hard for them. I love when Louisa has her questions or her problems and she voices them to Jesus. And I always think it's for us because a lot of times we're thinking the same thing. Like, it's crazy because we're thinking the same thing as the greatest saint that ever lived. But
just to kick in really quick, you know, Jesus tells Louisa, it might even be also in volume 36, because Louisa says, oh, I'm so sorry, Jesus, I was such a manouche. I was always complaining and I was always questioning things. And Jesus says, no, you never complained. You never questioned. But rather, she was asking those questions. They were rhetorical questions. Jesus was having Louisa ask them so that he may answer them, so that we may read them.
Yeah.
So that we may have them answered, because again, we may not have the same capacity that Louisa did to have Jesus with us all the time. Okay, I'm sorry, Mark.
Oh no, that's right. So she says, I was thinking to myself, it seems to me difficult to live in it. How can the creature reach this point? The human weaknesses, the circumstances of life, many times are too painful. The unexpected encounters, there's so many difficulties that one doesn't even know what to do. Wouldn't all these things lead the creature astray from a life so holy that it would take a perfect attention not to? And my sweet Jesus, continuing his say with such a tenderness that I felt my heart exploding, added, my little daughter of my will, my interest and my continuous yearning for the creature to live in my will is such that once we've made the agreement, myself and her, with a firm decision that she must live in my fiat, this being my will, I am the first one who makes the sacrifice to obtain the intent so that she may live in it. I place myself at her disposal. I give her all the graces, light, love, and the very knowledge of my will so that she herself has to feel the need to live in it. When I want something and she promptly accepts doing what I want, I take care of everything. And when she fails for weakness, for inconstancy, or for negligence, not for will, I come to compensate, and I do what she was supposed to do, transferring to her what I did as if she had done it. My gosh, what more can he do? You know, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah. You know, that what you just read really broaches on the term intentions. Now, growing up, I always heard the same phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, you know, as if our intentions are meaningless. Actually, this is a paradigm shift. Jesus says, no, on the contrary, your intentions are vital. Now, again, we're talking about true intentions. We're not talking about lip service. We're not talking about what we say. We're talking about really what's in our heart, because that's where God can read. He knows what's in our heart better than we do. So when we have the intention of doing something, just like Maureen read, Jesus says, start it. Do the best you can, and I'll fill in all the gaps, all the voids, all the places that are empty. I will do it as if you did it. And he gives us several examples throughout the volumes. The one I want to just mention quickly is really startling, because he talks about his coming, his humanity. He says, I'm going to paraphrase, so I apologize, but he says to Louisa, if I came only doing the will of myself, my birth, death, and resurrection would have only effectuated a change for just a few generations, just those around me, you know, the very old, the very young, and maybe the in-between. He says, but because I came to do the will of the Father, I did everything for all souls, past, present, and future, that will never end. And he says, when I came to save everyone. He says, but in redemption, although everybody was redeemed, was everybody saved? No. To any fault of Jesus? No. So the Father, he says, gave him credit as if all souls were saved because that was Jesus' intention. And Jesus did everything possible. Again, he will not invalidate our free will. So for those who say, I don't want to be saved, they're not going to be saved. So again, intention does make a big difference. It's a huge shift. It's actually upside down. It's night and day. When we have a bona fide intention and we do the best we can to fulfill, to make that intention come to fruition, just as you read, Maureen, God will do the rest. What do we have to be worried about? Nothing. Do our best. God will do the rest. Mm-hmm. Let's go back. I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place, unless they did not want it. So if we want this, it's a guarantee. Jesus' guarantee. It's not my guarantee. It's Jesus' guarantee. Thanks be to God for that. Oh, thank you for that, Maureen. You know, volume 36 is like the finale. You know, if you ever watched a fireworks display, the fireworks are nice throughout the whole display. But then when you get to the finale, I mean, everything is let loose. That's pretty much Jesus. I can even couple with that volume 35. So volume 35 to volume 36, God sort of summarizes and gives us all the highlights, I mean, that he wants to give us. All the going away points before he stops the dictation to Louisa. But it's poignant. But again, some say, okay, I'm just going to go to volume 36. It's not the same because you really need the foundation leading up to it. But in 36, he brings, and 35 for that matter, he brings everything together. He finalizes it. He brings all the cream to the crop, to the top. And then we go from there. It's like, make disciples of all souls. Now allow the divine will to be in all hearts. And we do that most effectively with our rounds and our acts, because again, we're allowing God to do it with no time, with no space, all souls, past, present, and future. We can't do that alone. We can only affect those around us. So again, everything is being done for us, but there is a bit of work for us to do. And God waits for us to do that little bit of work. He doesn't expect what's not possible from us. He only expects what is possible if it meets with our desire. So again, it all goes back to that desire. Do we desire this gift? If we do, God will give us the ingredients to complete this recipe.
You know, when I first read volume 36, I felt like I was in algebra class again, like the first time, like a couple of years ago. And in algebra, I was like, everyone gets this but me. And so, but I thought, just keep reading. So I'm on my third time reading volume 36, and I'm getting it. And it's awesome. So it took me a little while, but to everyone, I just say, just be persistent. And you know that this is making God happy. You know you're being obedient. And so use those two things and just keep going, because eventually, everybody's different, but for me, it took me three times to read, you know, this volume, and now it's just awesome. But it wasn't always awesome. I was scratching my head. So, you know, I just want to encourage everyone just to keep going, because I guess the Lord said, okay, now I know you're serious. Here's my gift to you. And it was just like, wow, it's beautiful.
Well, see, the first time you read through it, it wasn't enough. Your desire facilitated you to read it the second time. So God gave you more grace. Then the second time was better than the first, but still not complete. You did it a third time. God gave, again, every time we exemplify our desire through our actions, of course, reading, writing, listening, and putting it into practice, of course, God will continue to give us grace and graces. We can't, nothing can be done by ourselves. Everything takes God's grace, but we're constantly being given God's grace. We're just not fully utilizing it. So now God's giving us the mechanism, in essence, to be able to take God's grace and use it for fuel. I mean, what good is gasoline in a diesel engine? You can't use it. So we have to make sure that the fuel we're being given is going to be able to run us, allow us to run to Jesus. Because again, run's a very pivotal word too. Mary ran. Always ran to Jesus. I mean, again, what does run symbolize? Run symbolizes you don't walk, you desire it. I want to get there faster. So we run And God runs to us more quickly than we run to him. It's beautiful. And I think, again, the key is it's accessible to all. We can't think about our faults. We can't think about our sins. I mean, we can think about our sins to the extent of going to reconciliation, of course, and having the sacrament expunges of those sins. But God says, I forget those sins. So you must too, because again, our sins of the past can really be a paralysis. It can really stop us. And again, the other side loves to keep reminding us of those things we did wrong, those things we did bad. But if we've learned from it, that's what this is all about. Our fallen nature can be corrected, can be fixed. And, you know, last but not least, before we start the program today, things are going to get tough. I really believe things are going to get very difficult, not only just in the world, but in the church also. It's going to be shaken. Many mystics have spoken about that. I can't help but recommend everyone remember what St. Cyril of Jerusalem said, especially when things get difficult. We're going to have to make some tough choices. He said, quote, "Flee from the wolves. Gather with the sheep, do not leave the church," end quote.
That's great. So
we may be making some tough decisions coming forward, you know, perhaps our families, our friends, who may be wolves. Again, not putting them down at all, but this is where we may have to make a separation. We have to draw a delineation. We may have to change the company perhaps we keep, so that we avoid the near occasion of sin and we can grow in confidence and faith and in love for our Lord. And the first thing that comes to mind also is if you're around anybody that constantly bashes or badmouths the Pope, just perhaps that's the first part you want to maybe start distancing yourself from, because we're called to pray for the Pope. The Pope will be under an enormous attack. We've seen it. I mean, the Pope just came out with a beautiful he was talking about homosexuality, and he stunned the crowd with a very loving answer. That he was asked, "Is homosexuality a crime?" And he said, "No, homosexuality is not a crime; it's a sin." So don't punish, don't put to death that sinner. Pray for that sinner. I mean, what does Jesus tell us? Many souls go to purgatory. Many souls go to hell. Our Lady of Fatima told us this because there's not enough people praying for them. So we pray for one another. We need each other. The communion of saints is the most important camaraderie that we can have with each other. And I think this gift of the divine will exemplifies perfectly the communion of saints. I mean, to an extent that very few had ever known. Before Louisa and before the Book of Heaven. It really is the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. And we're here. Amen. Can you imagine this? What a sense of humor our Lord has too, to have us alive at this time and to give us this gift, the opportunity to receive this gift and the work that goes along with it, knowing that how everything works in conjunction, how our action rounds in the divine will, move God, again, we use the word move God, to dispose grace and graces to all souls, past, present, and future, so that they may be receptive to this gift as we are. And may that receptivity increase in intensity. That's all it is.
And we can mitigate the evil that's going to befall the world. We can mitigate it. We can, it won't be so bad if we bring the kingdom. The kingdom has to come, and the more acts we do, the more prayers in the divine will, we can help this whole situation, I feel. I mean, it has to come. It has to come, but it can be better. It can be less suffering if we pray in the divine will and bring the kingdom sooner. I see it as just, it's up there in the sky and it's coming and it's coming and it's coming. And the more we pray and do our acts and the more people learn about it, it's coming quicker. So, Blessed Mother, I think I said last week, Blessed Mother brought Jesus quicker, because she was praying and he got out of the tomb quicker because she was praying. So we're her people. So let's pray. And it might not be as bad as it could be, and the kingdom will come quicker. So we have to look at it in that way, I think, or otherwise we'll kind of get kind of down.
No, that's very true. In fact, Maureen, Louisa, Jesus even tells Louisa that because of your prayer, much has already been mitigated.
Yes, that's us now. That's us.
Yeah, that's us. Now that has been given over to us in conjunction with Louisa. You know, and again, you mentioned the Blessed Mother. I don't have the actual article in front of me, but Article 507 of the Catholic Catechism states that Mary is the most perfect model and realization of the Church, mm-hmm. end quote. So we go to our mother. She's been disposed to, mm-hmm. She's been given the task to dispose the children, us, mm-hmm. to receive this gift so great. So go to our mother. We can never insult Jesus. I remember having some people in our Seneca group get very annoyed with me as I spoke about our Blessed Mother. They were afraid of insulting Jesus. But St. Maximilian Kolbe says, we can never love Jesus more than his mother. We can never love Jesus' mother more than Jesus did. So we're not mm-hmm. ever more Marian than Jesus. So don't worry about loving Our Lady too much. And St. Maximilian Kolbe said also that, Our Lady brought Jesus into the world, and now she will bring Jesus to the world. Mm-hmm. She is the one bringing this gift of the divine will to all mm-hmm. of us. So we go to our mother. And what does Jesus say? When you want miracles, go to mm-hmm. my mother, as That's I can right. refuse her nothing. That's in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 23. Don't quote me on that, but definitely in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. Go to my mother if you want miracles, as I can never say no to her. And I believe it. You know, it all comes down to that, Maureen. Everything we've just spoken mm-hmm. about, it could be just blah, blah. I mean, do we believe this to be true? I mean, these are not our opinions. This is what Jesus said. This is what our Blessed Mother said. Do we believe it? If we don't believe it, how are we going to progress? We cannot give our fiat if we don't believe it. If we don't have that trust, if we don't have that faith, that confidence, that love for God to say, yes, you're God. I'm here and I don't know how I got here. I didn't ask to be born, but I am. And now you're giving me the opportunity to know why I was born and what I have to do. And it's very simple because we do very little. God does all the rest. Maureen, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, as we see evil, make itself known and everyone's talking about, wow, look at this. This is bad. This is bad. But I would say, watch for the miracles because God's not going to be outdone by evil. And I think if we have the spiritual eyes to look, we're going to see some really wonderful things. And just like I live in Pennsylvania and we had some elections that were national. I mean, it was a disaster, the people that we elected, but we're having a divine will conference in Pennsylvania. So I'm looking at like, oh yeah, well, guess what? We're having divine will in Pennsylvania. So that to me, this conference, why not to say, talk about this? This conference that we're having in Pennsylvania, this is going to do a wonderful work in a state that is really in bad, and it's really in a bad way. You know, when Philadelphia is a mess, everything's a mess, but God's going to show his glory in this conference. And who knows what kind of lights are going to shine out into Pennsylvania streets after this. So that's what I mean. Like God's not going to be outdone by this evil. So just watch and see what he's going to do, because it's going to just blast out there. I just have this feeling the light is just going to, the suns, we're going to see them. I just have that feeling.
And our Lord's given us a taste of this too, because as we're in this diabolical disorientation that we're living in right now, which Our Lady of Fatima prophesied, she told us there'll come a time where there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Mm-hmm. Good people will be doing bad things and thinking they're doing good, all kinds of mm-hmm. confusion. In the midst of all this, we're starting to feel, I think, down. Many people are feeling down. What happens? The Supreme Court of the United States mm-hmm. overturns Roe versus Wade right. in the midst of all this. So God says, you know what? I'm just going to flex my pinky and look what I can do.
Yeah, so that's right.
Cannot be despair. We should be so actually, I think we're going to resemble the apostles in Pentecost. Remember, they thought they mm-hmm. were drunk. They were drunk. Mm-hmm. We're going to look like there's something wrong with us because mm-hmm. society is going to say, don't you know what's going on? Aren't you down? Aren't you nervous? Aren't you worried? And we'll say no, because we have the divine will. We know exactly what we need to do. I mean, what is it that Jesus tells us? I mean, not that we, I don't know if I have it in front of me here. I mean, not that we're doing it for this reason, but you know, things are going to get bad. I mean, that's not just me saying it. Many others feel the same thing, same way. But what does Jesus tell us? If we're looking at Father Nuzzi's dissertation, well, finally keeping on the subject, but by the way, this is my dissertation. It's still alive. On page 415 of the soft copy, at least I can give you the volume that's in. Again, we're not doing it for this reason, but just to know what God is going to do and when he's going to do it. He says it in volume 11, May 18th, 1915. Just an excerpt, if I may. Quote, "The divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these chastisements nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Know that I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside." End quote. Again, where these souls reside, we cannot take that literally. I spoke to Father Nuzzi about this. That doesn't just mean our own domicile. That means our children's homes, our family's homes. You know, it goes beyond what just the words. Again, this is a divine revelation, you know, being put in human terms, in a human vernacular. It's impossible. But just for our own edification, we're given it so that we can understand it. So again, all of this will not move us, will not worry us, will not trouble us, and may even protect us. Again, we're all called to do something, either survive it or to martyrdom. Yeah. Either way, in the divine will, we're going to heaven. And isn't that our job? Why were we born? To be with God always. And for our children, same thing. We pray in the divine will for our children who may not know the divine will, who may not want the divine will. It's okay. They may receive the same grace and graces that we receive, the same disposition to accept this gift eventually if we make our acts and rounds. Again, as we move God, God moves toward us. Can't outmaneuver God, that's for sure. But we can definitely move God. I didn't plan on this.
I want to share one more thing that keeps coming.
Please, go ahead. I've talked too much.
So I'm thinking about how, you know, we're going to be delivered. We're going to be delivered from this world of sin into the divine will. The whole world is going to be delivered. It's a deliverance in the making, and the world's going to change. And I'm thinking about the when Moses took the Jews and they were delivered from Egypt. Okay, that was like an impossible feat. And so there's one scene in that movie where they're getting ready to cross the sea. And you probably all remember this, and there's two little children and they're sitting there and they have their blind grandfather with them. And the blind grandfather says, "What's happening? What's happening?" And the little boy says, "Grandfather, grandfather, God opened the sea with a blast of his nostrils." And I thought that was so great that this little boy saw that all God had to do was breathe and that sea opened up. And it just reminded me of the awesomeness of God and how he doesn't have to do much for miracles. And I think those times of miracles are ahead of us. And when it looks bad and we're facing the sea and we're thinking, the soldiers are behind us and the sea is in front of us, how are we going to get across that sea? And I think it's the divine will that's going to take us in across the sea and leave the old world behind, leave the soldiers behind or whatever. But it's going to be an exciting time and we're going to see miracles. Maybe all these gifts, the divine will be showing themselves in us in a wonderful way, in a real way, in a really holy way that who knows, but it's going to be good. It's going to be exciting.
I agree.
We'll all get to see it. Some of us from this side, some of us from the other. Doesn't matter where we're watching it from, whether we're down here partaking in it or in another place watching it. It's all happening.
It is. And then the paradigm shift there is, you know, we don't have to pray for a miracle. We just expect a miracle.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're going to receive. But we can pray for it also. But expect it. Because we're going to be getting it. If we're not getting it already, I think we are getting it already, little by little. Every day we wake up actually is a miracle if you think about it. But okay, so we didn't do any of the lesson today, but I think everything we talked about.
Oh gosh, it's time to close.
Yes, okay. But I wanted to do is I wanted to repeat myself if I may, because we had people that joined us after we did the introduction. Actually, our introduction, we did the closing first before we did the introduction, if that makes any sense. So I'm gonna go back to that now because I think it's really important. And I'm gonna scroll down here a bit. Hopefully you don't get dizzy to it. And I'm going to bring up the usually at the end of the program we explain or give a heads up as to who's going to be with us on Sunday. And this Sunday is going to be Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And that's at 2 o'clock, the Holy Rosary and the adoration will begin at 1 p.m. And then what you may have heard Maureen speak about, I'll blame her, an upcoming Divine Will retreat in Pennsylvania, summer of 2023. Actually, I can be a little more specific than that. It's June 30th. July 1st and July 2nd. This will be a live retreat, 3 days. There'll be housing. It's a beautiful campus, over 100 acres. It's in the Villanova, Pennsylvania area. That much I can tell you. And two out of the three main guests that will be there for those 3 days, I'll give you a hint, are regulars here at the School of Barry. So that's probably all I could say at this time. But we do expect the full blown announcement to be made probably within the week. That would be my guess at this time. So that being said, I'd like to close with a beautiful quote from a book written in the 1800s called In Search of the Soul by Horatio Dressler. And I think this is very apropos to each and every one of us. And we just have to remember this again, not to lament over our past sins, especially the ones that we've already confessed and been absolved of. So Horatio reminds us, quote, "We shall be deeply grateful that our life has been just what it has been, since it has given our soul opportunity to develop." Amen. Everything we've experienced, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything, all the obstacles have been a way to exercise our virtues, to grow in our faith, to grow our soul, and to grow closer to our Lord and to our Lady. It's only just begun. And we're in it. We're in it. I can't get that out of my mind. So again, keep tuned for the retreat in Pennsylvania coming up in probably another 5 or 6 days. You'll get the announcement June 30th, July 1st, July 2nd. It'll be fun. It'll be absolutely great. And I think you're right, Maureen. I think we're going to see the miracles continue and maybe even accelerate as we get closer. Because again, what are we doing in a retreat such as this? Mm-hmm. We're moving God. We're moving God. Mm-hmm. Oh God, how much we desire His holy divine will. And the more we move God, the more grace we receive and the closer we get to receiving it. And by the way, also don't get despondent. When we read that passage about those living in the divine will, God didn't say those living completely in the divine will. Right. Remember, there's a trillion, there's an infinite levels of living in the divine will. Mm-hmm. So really, we just want to get our foot in the door. Jesus says, I think in volume 13, anyone in the state of grace and an ardent desire will receive this gift. That's all he said. State of grace, ardent desire. So he gives us a hint there also. What are the two most important that we need to prepare ourselves for? So anywhere we're journeying, we're going to reap these benefits, these blessings from God. So don't be despondent where we are, how high we are. That's for God to know. All we know is we just keep stepping forward, little by little, inch by inch. That's right. Love everybody. Okay. Just an opportunity to be together today is just such a blessing. So hopefully we'll see everyone on Sunday with Mother Gabriel, and stay tuned for the announcement coming up shortly. God bless everyone. Thanks be
Bye,
to
everybody.
God for everything. Okay. Love everyone. Thank you, Maureen.
Bye. Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye. This is great.